Welcome to the Special Olympics Wisconsin podcast, Athlete Voice. Special Olympics is a global movement to create a new world of inclusion and community through sports. And one way that we are creating that environment of inclusion is ensuring that our athletes' voices are heard and our partners' voices are heard. And I'm really, really excited to introduce my co-host today. Ed, introduce yourself to our audience here.
Hello, I'm Ed Castor. I'm the sidekick.
We are partners in crime. I'm Addie Teeters, Vice President of Marketing Communications for Special Olympics Wisconsin. And Ed, we have a super special guest today. I'm so thrilled he's here and can make the time for us. Ed, why don't you introduce him?
Yeah, he's pretty special to me too. His name is Chris Tarman, and he's a UWO Chief of Police. I met Chris 20 plus years ago. We were on a food committee together, and he's been a big role. Listeners don't know this, but he's been a big role model in my life. I look up to him, and I'm probably going to make him cry because I'm going to cry talking about him. But he's always there for you if you need him. Just give him a text or shout out, and he's been a big part of the athlete's life through LETR. So, and one of the proud moments I had, I think it was back April and March, but I got to go to his swearing-in ceremony, and that was pretty special. And he gave me a coin, and my mom's like, where'd you get that beautiful coin from? And I still hold it near and dear to my heart. So, okay, Chris, I'm sorry about making you cry there, buddy, but
welcome, Chris. What kind of an introduction is that, my friend?
That's, wow. Wow, Ed. You know, I got to tell you that I think it probably goes more the other direction than what you're saying about me. Like, I think just being connected to athletes fills my cup. It gives me the ability to kind of navigate the chaos of my job, you know? And it's really just exciting to be able to hang out with athletes and just soak it in, soak in the positivity and the excitement about everything that's going on. And that's really what keeps me going, you know? So I know you said a lot of nice things about me, but honestly, you do more for me than I would ever do for you. So thank you, Ed. And thanks, Addie, for having me on the show.
And Chris, Ed mentioned this, but, you know, you've been involved with Special Olympics Wisconsin on the law enforcement side for many, many years. Why don't you give us a taste of that history and how did you get started?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know how long. I'm going to say it's probably 16-ish years. And I think, honestly, the first event was going to Buffalo Wild Wings and serving food. And I really just, you know, I'm a little bit different in the sense of law enforcement because I work at a campus. And so it was like an opportunity for me to engage with the community in a little bit of a different way than I typically would. I really didn't know what I was doing. And I just went and served food, and somebody invited me, and I thought, sure, I'll go. And then somebody from Special Olympics Wisconsin came up to me and was like, hey, if you had fun, let's do more of this. And I was like, okay. And so basically from there, I just kind of leaned in anywhere I was asked to lean in. And it didn't take long to really realize that there's a really strong community around Special Olympics Wisconsin. I will admit, though, that it probably took me 4 or 5 years till I really understood what I was doing. You know, like I was volunteering. I was engaged in many events like Polar Plunge. And we talked about creating Run with the Cops in Oshkosh. And then the person at Special Olympics and I actually made that event kind of come to life. And then and even after that, I was like, well, I didn't fully understand what I was doing until I think I went to the first conference and heard somebody talk about Eunice Kennedy Schreiber was talking about why this all started, you know, what the importance of it was, the impact of it. And that's when it really kind of hit me that I was doing something way bigger than I even knew I was doing. And, but once you start going to events and you're hanging out with athletes, it really was refreshing to be in a field where it's negative a lot. I mean, just law enforcement in general is just kind of a tough field to work in. And then go to an event and hang out with athletes who are just celebrating everything all the time and each other without judgment, without worry. It's just kind of a contagious environment that you want to be a part of. That's what's kept me hooked in.
Ed, you and I have talked about this at length, where when somebody from kind of the outside public comes to one of our events, it might be the only place on earth that you show up. and you are never going to receive any kind of judgment.
That is so true, Addie, because when I'm there, I feel equal. I feel on the same playing field. I don't have to be worried about, how am I going to be treated? We all treat each other with love. And I was going to ask Chris this next question here. Speaking of love, what have you learned from the athletes?
You know what? That's a great question, Ed. I mean, I think I touched on it a little bit, but I just have learned, that it's athletes are an example of what I feel like we all should act like. You know what I mean? Like without, and you kind of said it, there's no judgment. It's an equal playing field. And I've learned how to do that at a better level. You know, I've learned how to really take in what folks are saying and kind of pause and then try to find the positive inside of that, you know what I mean? And reflect that on other folks. And that's really how I feel like I get treated when I'm hanging out with athletes. Like, it's just a positive reflection. There's never a judgment or negativity. And it doesn't even matter what was going on in my day. I show up and somebody's smiling and somebody's excited to see me. And then I'm excited to see them. And then the energy is like off the charts. And that's what keeps you coming back, you know? I've learned that from the athletes, which is pretty cool. So, and you know what else I've learned is that athletes for Special Olympics Wisconsin are resilient. They don't give up. They work hard. They encourage each other. And that energy is important for the rest of us to see too. And that's helped me get through some of the difficult things I've had to navigate along the way. So I've learned some good stuff.
You talked about me when I got the Die Hard Award, and I'm like, I was sitting there crying because I'm like, I think that's Chris talking about me on the screen there. And the Die Hard Award for anybody that doesn't know, it's for advocacy. And I won it this last year. And you were talking about how resilient I've been and how resilient, or you said something like that. And over the past 20 years, because you've seen me go through a lot of things. What are some things you've learned from me?
You know what, Ed, I've learned from you that when you put your mind to it, you can get anything done. I will never forget the time. I mean, I don't remember how long ago this was because we did Run with the Cops for a long time. But I remember that you were working so hard on PT to get to a point where you could walk that event. And you did. I mean, it was so cool to just see you get to that point. You know what I mean? To see the resilience and the strength. And that, you know, if you pause and reflect on that, you can really see that no matter who you are, what your circumstance is, you can do anything as long as you got a few people around you and you got the energy to pull it off.
Well, I want to get back there because I get the right braces to fit me. But we have a partnership with the OTPT clinic towards Milwaukee now, so I'm hoping to get back to walking again. But that was getting me a little misty-eyed there. I'm glad people can't see this. I think I did 2 out of the 3 miles in my walker. I did a mile in my chair, by the way.
So yeah, I'm gonna get back there again.
That's huge, though. Chris, could you touch on LETR for us? So that is a term that Ed threw out right away in the beginning. It stands for Law Enforcement Torch Run. You know, the Law Enforcement Torch Run movement has been around since 1986, but I don't.
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't know that people fully understand that connection of what is the Law Enforcement Torch Run and how is that connected to the Special Olympics Wisconsin movement? So Chris, if you could touch on that, that'd be super helpful.
Yeah, it started in the early 80s, and I think it started in Wichita, Kansas, with Chief Richard Lemunyan. And really, it was his leadership that kind of carried the momentum forward, but it was a few folks inside of his department who really just wanted to create an experience for the athletes that were locally competing in sports in Special Olympics. And so they were like, we're going to carry this torch from here to here. And I don't remember the specific route, but, you know, it's probably one of the largest grassroots organizations that has ever started in the entire world's history, right? Where it's kind of this unique partnership between law enforcement and Special Olympics, where I just think it fits because of exactly what I talked about, right? Like it's this special circumstance where law enforcement has this complicated job where it's very difficult. And I think you need partnership with the community, but you also need that positive energy all the time and that good reflection on, you know, an athlete's example for us. And then we're able to kind of carry their momentum forward by being a part of what's going on. So it's really, basically it's probably, I don't know, I'm going to say 80 to 100,000 volunteers worldwide in law enforcement who create momentum and awareness for Special Olympics all over the world. And the torch run is basically what it is. I mean, we do events and carry a torch and carry the flame of hope for our athletes. And honestly, it's always a police officer with an athlete carrying that flame of hope together to show the unity and who we are as a team.
And I think, you know, we've talked about the idea of inclusive partnerships and inclusive education, for instance, with our healthcare providers across the state of Wisconsin, so that our medical professionals understand how to properly work with individuals with intellectual disabilities. And I think that really carries true for folks in law enforcement too. I mean, you and I have talked about the more you know and understand the community that you are serving, it just helps you do your job better. And can you talk about how it's important for our law enforcement individuals to know and be able to help and assist folks with intellectual disabilities?
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about my relationship with Ed here, I mean, I know Ed because of our engagement together, and I know his needs, and he knows that he can reach out to me and accomplish things that maybe he wouldn't be able to do without that connection. You know what I mean? And so it's really about creating relationships that allow us to advance the way that we do our work in the law enforcement community. And honestly, it's really about creating relationships so that folks who have intellectual disabilities have a trust built with the law enforcement community, because they're going to need to use those resources. And so, I mean, I really kind of tug myself out of LETR and just think with my police hat, my entire mission or goal in the law enforcement aspect is to create relationships with folks in my community to better solve problems, right? And so just in a very microscopic view of this, creating relationships with the athletes allows me to be better for them. It allows them to understand that they can call without judgment, without worry, and in a previous relationship established to solve a problem that maybe they would be concerned about calling and asking things for. So it's I'm not probably touching the surface of that as well as I should be, but it's just a great relationship builder that helps us solve problems better.
And Chris, that's so key that you said that, because law enforcement gets the bad rap because sometimes because they have to know how to communicate somebody with different disabilities. Let's say somebody's deaf or blind and you go on a call and you don't know how to treat them, or you don't want to talk down to them. You want to be pertain to their needs. But if you don't know what's going on, then that's where somebody could get misinterpreted or injured or something if you don't treat them right as an officer, right?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. And I mean, this is a reality of our world too, is that folks with intellectual disabilities are a little more vulnerable to crime occurring. And so these relationships help us advance that ability to reduce those things from occurring, right? Like if there's a better knowledge and awareness and a strong relationship, then we can share how to be safer, how to make good choices. And when our athletes aren't sure, they get like Ed's text me. He'll text me and ask me a question and be like, hey, I need to talk about this. And we talk about it so that he can be better prepared for that conversation. And so I think it's just such a unique relationship that really does keep this part of our community a little bit safer.
And Chris, how would you encourage other entities or other lines of work to get involved in Special Olympics Wisconsin? I mean, having multiple different careers and concentrations involved in the movement is so very important. And I'm sure people think they're too busy, or they think it might not be a match with their organization's goals. But what would you do to encourage just any kind of outside business entity, career field, to join the movement, to get involved, to just give it a try?
Well, the too busy thing is kind of funny, because I am very busy. and I still find time to figure it out. And I think it's important to understand that even when you're busy, and when I say I'm too busy, I mean, I'm the police chief and I work 50 to 55 hours a week. I'm on a few boards. I own a small business. I run a few events that go on. I do a little tiny bit of photography yet, and somehow I squeeze in all of these things related to Special Olympics. So if you're saying your plate's full, You know, try to think about that in the sense of what can you plug in that maybe you could shift something out that wouldn't be as healthy for you, because this really is a healthy thing. And if you're not in law enforcement, you know, that's okay too. You can get engaged and honestly sign up for a run and do a run or do a walk. If you don't run, do a walk, walk in the event. Or even if you, let's say you're like, oh my gosh, I would never jump into 32 degree water and do the polar plunge. Okay, that's cool. You know, you can still come out and you can watch that occur. Or you know what? You can coach athletes. You could get engaged and do a coaching event. Like I haven't had a chance to coach cornhole, but my small business is relates to cornhole. And I was like, you know, I should probably coach cornhole. Well, I'll get there once I clear some other stuff off my plate. But there's so many ways just to be engaged. And maybe you really don't have time. Well, I mean, anybody can use financial support, you know what I mean? So get engaged with a fundraising effort. And, you know, even if it's just your birthday where you're like, I'm going to do $250 goal for my birthday to Special Olympics, because I've watched Ed have access to resources along with so many other athletes, like dental care and hearing care and different things that they have access to because they're a part of Special Olympics. So you're not just supporting an athletic event, you're supporting health and wellness for these athletes who are involved. There's lots of ways to get involved.
You know, Special Olympics athletes truly are athletes. They are competing, they are training, and the effects that can have on their mental health, on their physical health. I mean, Chris, you've been witness to it at our events.
No, you're spot on. I mean, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about this, Ed, but I mean, I think just being able to compete with people together, whether you're competing against other athletes or you're competing in a unified sport, there's an energy there, right? There's a feeling of joy that I don't know if you can get rid of. You know, it just carries you through the week and the days and probably even the next months until you get to the next event.
Okay, Chris, I'm going to challenge you here, buddy.
Uh-oh.
I challenge you to be a unified partner for bocce or cornhole.
Okay, I'm in. Okay. You know, I watched bocce at the 2022 USA Games, and I so want to do it. I was almost going to put a court in my backyard. I just haven't done it yet. So
it's complicated. It's tricky.
I'm on a unified team for my second year because I do it with coaches' daughters, and unified is a lot tougher than traditional. Oh yes.
I would love to. Challenge accepted.
And then what? Because you do such a selfless job because you help out the community, but what have you helped install in your kids and wife to make sure that you're going to be safe, but yet you're serving your community and you're doing good? That's a loaded question, I know.
Yeah, you know, I've tried to instill in them the same things that I do in my own life, right? Which is to just be where people need us to be, right? Like I actually have my own belief system that kind of energizes me as a person, and I teach my kids that no matter who the person is on the other side of the conversation, they're dealing with something or they have a need or there's an opportunity there for us to lean in and support. Yeah, I mean, someday, maybe soon I might have a need, you know, and I've had needs in the past. And so I feel like when you do those things, you support people and you lean in, that eventually you get repaid in the same thing. Somebody will lean in and help you. And so those are things I instill into my children. I also try to help them be available to anybody, you know, to be non-judgmental and to really just be a friend to those who need a friend. And so those are things I've taught my kids.
Those golden rule lessons that if we all just carried them through daily and really took the athlete's lead on it, the world might be a little happier every day.
It'd be a way better place.
And Chris, what do you think the world needs or community needs to maybe understand people with ID better? Because we get misrepresented a lot of times, or we don't get heard sometimes because, you know, that saying, it's better to be seen than heard. We get seen a lot more than we get heard. So how do we bridge that gap, Chris?
I think people need to get athletes engaged, right? People with ID need to be more engaged. We need to give them opportunities to have a voice. We need to include them in the things that we have going on. And honestly, just listen and keep them involved. And I think that will be better. I mean, as the world as a whole, I think we honestly just need a little more respect for everybody, right? We move at such a quick pace. We all have thoughts about things, and it's maybe too easy to have an opinion about stuff. And so to slow down a little bit and add pause to the way that we communicate or talk about stuff, I think that would help us all.
And I think it's okay to tell people with an idea. It's okay to be vulnerable, because I came to you, what was it, March or April, and I said, Chris, I gave you a big hug and I just started breaking down crying. I needed to talk to you at that point. I was real. It was a reality moment. I said, I need to talk. I had a lot of stuff going on. And you didn't mind. We took 3 minutes in the van and we talked, and I cried and you cried and we cried together.
Yeah, you're spot on. You know what? It's just being available. Just being available to listen. I think that would help a lot. That would help a lot. And I know that that helped you that day. And honestly, it helped me, Ed, just to kind of hear what you had going on so that I could know, you know?
And the bravery that it takes to be willing to ask for help. I think that's something that we can learn so significantly from you, Ed, and other athletes, is when you ask for help and we show up vulnerably for each other, there's such bravery in that, that, I mean, you can teach a lot with that.
Well, it helps when you have a 20-year relationship with your other side, and you can joke around with them and maybe BS with them too. And when times get hard,
You know what, Ed, I love that. I love that you just said that, because I think maybe that encapsulates the LETR, right? Like, we have an established relationship, but I don't know if that's necessary with the LETR. Like, there's the people who are engaged on the law enforcement side or the volunteers who are engaged, they're leaning in at a way that 20-year relationship probably isn't even necessary. So that bravery or that moment to share how you're feeling is so important. And here's kind of a quick example of that. I got chosen to go down to the World Games in 2022, and our athlete was on our team, was sharing that, you know, I think he's in his mid-50s, and he's worried because his parents are getting up there in age too, and they are caregivers for him. And he was worried about who was going to be there for him. And this is probably a great opportunity for folks who are listening to this to lean in. But there are athletes out there who need us beyond the years of the folks who are there for them. And so his name is Aaron, and our team just told him, we're here for you for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? And there was, I think, 6 or 7 of us on our team, and we all have a group chat, and he messages into that group chat like probably once a week or even sometimes a couple times a week. And we're all engaged constantly. And so that's another great way to lean in, is to just try to figure out how to be there, and knowing that the resources that they have today might not be there tomorrow. And our relationships can help them make sure that they feel safe and have a connection to somebody who will help them.
Chris, as we move forward in the next, I think Special Olympics is like 53 years old, in the next 50 years, what would you like to see Special Olympics become? Or, you know, because we're bridging that gap, but we still have a long ways to go where we need to go.
Yeah, you know, I actually am a very big picture guy. I think wide and usually not narrow. But in this instance, I think we have to think about the next 3 to 5 years and 5 to 10 years of really just re-engaging our community. I mean, post-COVID, we've lost some momentum on people volunteering. And I think it's just a little bit about re-engagement, making sure that we don't lose sight of what's right in front of us, so that that future down the road can be more innovative and vision-filled and think about how to redirect and change things. There's great stuff in place. It's just about having volunteers who are willing to lean in and give some energy.
And I know you talked about respect earlier, but what do you think it's going to take to get that respect back? So the officers respect the athletes respect the officers, so that relationship can develop.
I don't think that's that complicated. I think the athletes and the officers have a pretty good relationship, and that respect is pretty solid in there. So it's just about being engaged, leaning in, go to an event, you know, even at, like, here in Wisconsin, we do the little mini torch run at the spring games. Like, just show up, carry the torch, run in and stand there and hang out with the athletes as they get ready to play that spring sports setup, you know, and just that tiny little bit of engagement really builds those respectful, trustful conversations and relationships.
Just come and be a part of it. Come and watch it. Join it. And like you said before too, Chris, just include. Be willing to talk to someone and include them in a little bit of maybe what you've got going on.
You know, even just buy a shirt, you know what I mean? And wear that shirt that talks about inclusion or being special or standing out. Or I can just think of some of the shirts I've seen folks wear. people just want to feel a part of something, right? So allow that to occur. I think that's the biggest piece in life that would really help, especially as it relates to what we're talking about here.
Well, Chris, we continue to be so grateful for the work that you do just in Northeast Wisconsin, based out of Oshkosh. We're so incredibly grateful. But of course, the impact that you have in your leadership across the state of Wisconsin in the law enforcement community. So we, you know, speaking on behalf of Ed, myself, and everyone, thank you so much for your service, but really thank you for the friendships that you have created and these trusting bonds that you've created throughout the Special Olympics Wisconsin movement.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And like I said before, I was incredibly humble and proud to be there that day because I felt important, and Chris wanted to make sure that I was sat right in front with the officers, and I knew I was included too. And then he's like, I got something for you. I'm like, you got something for me on your special day? I'm like, it's your special day and you got something for me? It's like, what the heck?
Well, I appreciate our relationship, Ed, and I really value so many of the relationships that I have with people who are involved in this great organization. And, you know, Addie, you said nice things, and Ed, you keep saying these nice things, but honestly, it's really not that hard. It's really not that hard to just be engaged. And so thank you for being who you are, and thank you for making me feel special just for something that's so simple to be a part of.
And that's what we forget sometimes as human, because we just got to stop and say thank you, or maybe somebody's smile gets to us, or just making somebody laugh and smile, you made their day. I'm talking about other athletes, you know, you made their, or just give them a hug, because people with ID, people with and with ID are some of the sweetest people you're ever going to meet. And when you go to a competition, you think you have it, you might have it really bad, but you go there and it kind of puts it in perspective. You're like, boy, I could have a lot worse. I feel fortunate for what I have. And Chris, do you feel fortunate for what you have?
Oh, Ed, you have no idea. You have no idea how fortunate I feel. I mean, and I know we're getting long in this podcast, but even just yesterday, all of my thoughts around, I was thinking a lot about the word blessing yesterday. And I was just thinking about, I mean, this is crazy that we're talking about this, but I literally was in my shop working on some cornhole boards, and I had to like get out my phone and record myself talking, which I don't do. This sounds really weird, but I had to get these thoughts out of my head because all I could think about was the simple things that we take for granted in life. And I feel like if we all paused for a few minutes and just thought about them, we would treat others differently. You know, like something just as simple as I woke up yesterday. I mean, I literally woke up and I was like, oh, I had a bed to sleep in, and I was able to stand up and get out of my bed on my own power. And I could see the things that were going on in my room, and I had the ability to brush my teeth and walk around. And then I walked upstairs and woke up my children, which is another blessing. Like, I have three kids and they're healthy and walk around and can talk and can do all the things. And how simple are those things that I think we take for granted every day? You know, and that I had a house that was a good temperature, and I could walk out on my street and not worry about somebody driving by in a military vehicle who was going to mess with me. You know, if we all paused and just thought about that very simple thought of the things that we take for granted every day, I think we would treat others differently.
I'm so glad that you shared the inside thoughts out loud, because how many of us needed to hear that today, and so many of our listeners, just to get that simple reminder of reflection that we just don't take the time to pause and do. So I'm grateful for that. Yeah, I needed that today. So thank you.
And before we end this podcast, Chris and Addie don't know this, but today is my daughter's birthday, Ismay Starlet. She turns 5. I'm grateful for her. So happy birthday, Ismay.
Oh, happy birthday.
She's 5 years old now. How incredible is that?
So I get to see her in a little bit and spend time with her. So
I can see the excitement all over your face. Amazing. Happy birthday, Iz. This is fantastic.
Yeah, she is such a beautiful, strong girl. And I know she makes her daddy proud. So what a day to celebrate. We're celebrating with you, Ed.
Okay.
Well, thank you again, Chris, for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And, you know, we invite members of law enforcement, you know, to come and talk to us about the LAT and volunteering, but Also, for any of our listeners out there who want to know more about the Special Olympics Wisconsin movement, please visit us at SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org for more information. Thanks for tuning in.